Dr. Cynthia Bulick. I'm a distinguished professor of eating disorders in the Department of Psychiatry at the University of North Carolina School of Medicine. I'm also professor of nutrition in the UNC Gilling School of Global Public Health and director of the UNC Eating Disorders Program. I'm also author of Crave, Why You Binge Eat and How to Stop, and The Woman in the Mirror, How to Stop Confusing What You Look Like with Who You Are. Now, today's topic is binge eating disorder. When most people think about eating disorders, they conjure up images of anorexia nervosa or bulimia nervosa and mistakenly imagine an adolescent who's a white upper-middle-class girl. But by the numbers, the most common eating disorder is binge eating disorder. Commonly referred to as BED or BED, this eating disorder is characterized by binge eating in the absence of regular compensatory behaviors such as vomiting or other forms of purging. Now, the definition of a binge is somewhat fuzzy, but it's considered to be the consumption of an unusually large amount of food coupled with a sense of feeling out of control of your eating. And it's this out-of-control feeling that distinguishes binge eating from simple overeating. So although individuals with BED are often overweight or obese, this is not always the case, as many individuals with BED actually fall into the normal weight category. So clinicians should screen for binge eating regardless of patient weight. Until now, BED has actually been housed in the eating disorders not otherwise specified category. But with the DSM-5, BED will stand alone as a major eating disorders diagnostic category. And frankly, rightly so, because it afflicts 3.5% of women and 2% of men in the United States, which by our calculations is roughly equivalent to 4.2 million women and 2.3 million men. Now, the first thing you're going to notice about these numbers is that the sex ratio is much more equal than we typically see with anorexia or bulimia nervosa. And in addition, BED, like the other eating disorders, doesn't discriminate. It afflicts women and men of all races and ethnic backgrounds. So clinically, binge eating is the hallmark feature of the disorder, but it's often on a backdrop of sort of more global dysregulated eating that doesn't conform to the standard three meals a day type of pattern. So typically, patients will report a pattern such as skipping breakfast and then eating a light lunch and then binge eating in the afternoon or evening hours. Now, these evening or nighttime binges can lead to what I call a binge hangover the next morning. And that, of course, again leads to skipping breakfast, which then further perpetuates this entire dysregulated eating cycle. So the first step in the effective management of BED is helping the patient understand what his or her dysregulated eating patterns are. And this is achieved through just careful self-monitoring, not just self-monitoring of eating and binge eating, but also annotations of the time of consumption and the situation or the mood that might trigger binge eating episodes. And nowadays, self-monitoring can be achieved in whatever way is easiest for the patients, because we know that some patients just dread having to pull out the old paper and pencil routine to keep track of their eating and their binge eating. So we often will use technology. We'll have people build spreadsheets, or we'll have them use their PDAs or their smartphones in order to keep track of their data. So in order to regulate eating patterns, one very simple early intervention is just reestablishing daily breakfast eating, even the morning after a binge. So patients might say something like, you know, my stomach doesn't wake up at the same time that I do in the morning. But then you can just have them start with a small meal of maybe one food group and then gradually build up to a more substantial breakfast. And that can be the first step in the renormalization process. Breakfast helps people in two ways. It helps them biologically, by fending off afternoon hunger that can lead to rapid mindless eating or binge eating. But it also helps cognitively because they can avoid those cognitive binge traps like saying things such as, oh, I skipped breakfast so I can eat more this afternoon. Another important issue is that for patients who are overweight or obese, care should really be taken to shelter them from inappropriate and radical weight loss attempts because these can just further perpetuate binge eating. Instead, your treatment goals should really be crafted collaboratively between patient and clinician and focus on abstinence from binge eating in the first instance, but also healthy lifestyle as an approach to healthy eating and appropriate physical activity. Now, we know that medication can be of considerable value in the treatment of BED, But some of these cognitive behavioral therapy skills really provide the patient with the tools for long-term self-management of BED.